From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Saturday, April 22nd. It's time for another edition of the Capitol Recap. This is a weekly segment where the Vermont Public Politics team breaks down some of the biggest issues at the Statehouse. This week, we've got a look at some of the big bills and big disagreements lawmakers are tackling in Montpelier. We'll hear that right after this. Vermont lawmakers are hoping to close out the 2023 legislative session by May 12th, and that leaves them only a few weeks to find consensus on dozens of bills with significant implications for Vermonters. Our colleague Peter Hirschfeld spoke with host Mary Engish about some of the proposals that lawmakers are wrestling with right now.
So we've talked a lot about childcare throughout the session, but we saw some major movement on that issue this week. The House has decided to make some pretty significant changes to the childcare bill that the Senate approved last month. Get us up to speed. What do we need to know?
So the House Committee on Human Services has made a number of changes to the Senate bill, but the most significant one probably relates to how Vermont is going to handle childcare and early education for four-year-olds. About a decade ago, Vermont passed a law that created a universal pre-kindergarten, which was supposed to guarantee a placement in public school for every four-year-old in the state. But Waterbury Representative Teresa Wood says Vermont has not delivered on that promise. There are districts with robust full-day pre-K programs 5 days a week. Then there are regions of the state where parents have virtually no access to pre-K. What the House wants to do is institute a new requirement starting in 2026 that would require school districts to provide full-time pre-K for all four-year-olds in their district. And Teresa Wood says this will address the issue of access to childcare for parents and ensure some geographic equity across town and county lines.
When we're talking about public education that should be available to all individuals who are eligible for it, we have to assure that that exists in our system.
The bill would also substantially increase childcare subsidies for parents making up to 550% of the federal poverty level, which is about $170,000 a year for a family of four. This legislation, though, Mary, comes with a significant price tag. According to some new fiscal estimates, year one of the proposal would cost an additional $145 million. By year six of the plan, the state is looking at around $250 million a year in new spending to pay for all of this. The Senate wants to use a payroll tax to finance this new spending. Looks like House lawmakers are leaning toward an increase in corporate and personal income taxes. So this is going to be a complicated negotiation between the House and the Senate as we head into the last few weeks of the session.
And lawmakers also looking to increase funding to local emergency medical service agencies. Where does that legislation stand? And why has that become such a priority this year?
EMS and ambulance agencies in Vermont have been sounding the alarm for years now about funding shortages. And a report that came out earlier this year suggests that the state is now on the verge of a breaking point where we could see the collapse of local medical transport services if lawmakers don't do something now. This issue has really grabbed lawmakers' attention this year. Here's how Lamoille County Senator Rich Westman put it to me.
Well, I think right now, if we don't increase the Medicaid rate, you're going to see EMSs across the state close. So I think there's no disagreement that we need to do that.
So the Medicaid rate, Mary, is important to EMS agencies because Medicaid reimbursements are a significant source of revenue for them. A bill that's sitting in the Senate right now would increase Medicaid reimbursements by close to 50%, which would bring an additional $3.1 million to ambulance services next year. That bill also includes $1 million to address a severe workforce shortage in the field. That money would go toward recruiting and training new EMTs. On-the-ground EMS providers that I've talked to say this is all welcome and needed, but they say it won't be nearly enough to ensure the longer-term solvency for their agencies. And lawmakers are going to be commissioning a study over the summer to sort of take a look at the situation. And they say they're going to come back next year with whatever recommendations come forward because they tend to agree that the funding in this bill is not going to be enough for the long term.
Love a good summer study session. And lastly, Pete, lawmakers talking about creating a new facility for individuals who are accused of violent crimes but aren't competent to stand trial. What would this facility look like, and why are some advocates so concerned?
So I'm guessing a lot of folks out there have heard about these high-profile violent crimes in recent years that were allegedly committed by people who were found either mentally unfit or incompetent to stand trial. Those cases have spotlighted the lack of appropriate placements for those individuals, and lawmakers in both the House and Senate have coalesced around a bill that would take 9 beds at the state-run psychiatric hospital in Berlin and convert them into what's known as a forensic facility. Folks out there have probably also heard about the shortage of inpatient beds for people in mental health crisis, and advocates are raising some serious concerns about what it's going to mean to take 9 beds offline at the only state-run psych hospital when you already have people waiting in emergency rooms for days and even weeks in some cases for an inpatient mental health bed to open up. There's also concerns, Mary, about patients' due process rights, how the state is going to determine who belongs in this forensic facility, and whether it's the most appropriate and least restrictive environment for them to be in. It's a really complicated policy question with some complex legal and ethical dynamics, and lawmakers in both the House and Senate are going to be grappling with some difficult policy questions as they figure out how to resolve this over the next few weeks.
That was Pete Hirschfeld speaking with Mary Angish. Thanks for listening to the Capitol Recap this week. It was produced by Kevin Trevelin and Adia Ghostin. You can subscribe to the Capitol Recap newsletter at vermontpublic.org/newsletters. I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you soon.